Good evening, everybody. You are listening to Davin's Den. Yes, Davin's Den, the show that is better than bad weather on the busiest travel day of the year.
Really? Okay. Who ordered this?
Calm down. It's just the intro. Let me get through this.
Sorry,
please.
I'm excited about
it. I can tell. The number to call in is 845-986-8804. 845-986-8804. Your calls are always welcome. You could join our chat room, the Den Pen, by going to davinsden.com and clicking chat and listen live. Or if you are listening to one of our affiliates, simply open up a new window in your browser, type in davincomedy.com, go to the Davin's Den page on the bottom, click on that, and then click chat and go. I'm your host, Davin Rosemont. I am joined by Pip Helix.
Hi, everybody.
Joe will be here eventually.
Yes, he will.
I think you got a late start on things.
Yeah, and tonight, I mean, I know, you know, you're like, no traffic reports. The roads was bad. Everybody's losing their marbles
out
there.
They're leaving early.
Yeah, they are.
It's time to leave for Thanksgiving. Well, we got a good show, though, for tonight, so we thank you guys for hanging out with us. Hopefully you're where you need to be, nice and snuggled and nestled.
Yes.
Away from any riots. Anyway, on tonight's show, we find out which state drinks the most.
Yay.
We got a game.
Awesome.
We got a game. We'll check in with the deposed anti-scam queen, Ann Jackson.
Deposed.
Yes.
We got Does she know she's been deposed?
Lots of good stuff with Ann tonight.
Cool.
And her band of merry scammers, of course. And we'll see how Mavis Mills, ex-girlfriend of late Dick Eldorado, her brother, Mickey Wynn, is doing with my friend who's a scam baiter. It's our first spinoff.
Oh, that's awesome!
It's a spinoff for Belinda.
Awesome. Oh, my gosh. We're moving on up.
See, don't you think that's good? I mean, you know.
Yes.
We'll see. We'll see what's going on with Mickey Wynn and my pal.
Great.
So, I know. I've gotten some emails where people are, like, upset that, you know, about Belinda.
Yeah. I have to admit that I was a little like shocked that it was actually over.
It's like I explained to our fan. I'm working with real scammers here. It's not like we have writing meetings and go over. Listen, man, I know we wanted to end while we were still on top. I know we wanted to go out like Seinfeld, but I'm really thinking we got to go Star Wars episode 1 and Jar Jar Binks this shit. There's still more money to be made.
Oh, Misa not happy that to stop then.
I mean, I can only do so much. And, you know, we were listening to the clips because Joe gave the new clips, and they're from November 13th, 2012. Joe has got a ton of clips from that show.
Oh, he does. But you know what? I mean, okay, we're not the most biased judge, but we're both sitting here laughing our balls off at ourselves.
Because, well, here's the thing. Because that relationship at that time was 5 months old, and I was already on the third reboot of doing the relationship over with her at the time.
It was crazy.
I mean, it was like, how could this keep on going? And we kept it going until May of 2013.
No. Dude, you kept it going. You really, like, finessed the crap out of that. Flori was like the you know, starter. She was like the training wheels scamming the scammers. But the whole thing with Belinda, well, Agnes at one point, that was just, like, what a great training ground. But you just learned on the fly. And the crazy stuff you came up with, I'm very proud.
Well, you know, I'm only as good as the talent across the oceans.
Well, you know what? You made a great duo.
Well, thank you.
I
mean, I'm dealing with other scammers. I've dealt with other scammers. And they're like, oh, you know, Joe's right. You got to raise your game. Really? It's like, you don't get... I can do funny.
Yeah.
But it's hard to get that level of emotion and commitment.
Yeah.
And strangers... who have just said, well, listen to this clip, tell me what you think. People who aren't fans of the show, but we'll talk about scamming or like journalists or something.
Right.
I'll be like, I think this chick really dug me. Listen to this clip.
Yeah.
You know, when she hears me call, I'm like, yeah, there's a connection there.
Yeah, there totally was.
So, yeah, it's hard to do that with every scammer, especially when I'm pretending to be a woman.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know what? The woman that got involved in all this did have a connection with you, and maybe even somebody who was writing for a while. The husband, however, did not.
I don't think he loved me and my sweet talking quite the same way.
I don't think so.
But you know what? It's old news. We got Mickey Wynn and my pal from across the pond. So we'll see how that goes.
Fine.
We'll see how Mickey does. So you never know. Always got something up my sleeve.
You know what? Awesome.
Always got something up. But we got some good show news. Tonight on this night, we're pleased to announce our newest affiliate to the Davin's Den radio family, Gone Rogue Radio, GoneRogueRadio.com. So they got comedy and talk shows and everything. So this is our first night. We have Tuesday nights there.
Nice.
So
I love the name.
It's a good name.
Gone Rogue.
Except for Palin. You know, it's kind of Palin-esque, but I still like it.
No, I don't think about it that way at all.
Okay.
Nope.
No, it's a cool name. And they got like a whole piratey thing that they're working on now. Arr! So that'll be good.
Arr, Rogue!
So we certainly recommend that you guys check out GoOnRogueRadio.com as well as all of our affiliates. All good stuff, all varied. You know, that we're on talk stations, we're on music stations.
Yeah.
All sorts of good stuff. You really can't go wrong by listening to one of our affiliates.
No. I mean, they give good internet.
They do give good internet. They give great internet. All right. So we got the Thanksgiving coming up.
Right.
Yes.
You know what? It was.
I got a cold.
I know. It's like you get the sniffles.
Yeah, I got it from my cat.
I hope not. It was like impending, and all of a sudden I went, oh, crap, I have to go to the store. I'm one of those people.
Are you cooking?
I am cooking some. My sister-in-law is cooking the rest, and we're going over to their house.
Oh, do you usually go over to their house?
Yeah, you know, we've been varying things. We've been trying to shake it up a little, and we've been going out to eat at some points, and then we've also been, usually we eat at their place.
Okay, do you like to travel?
It's not that far.
How far?
It takes us like 10 minutes.
Oh, that's not a travel.
No, we go over this mountain and through a state park, and that's kind of cool.
Well, I've said every year on this show that I hate the travel aspect of it.
Yeah.
Every year on this show, I've had to travel. One year I had to cook a turkey, and the turkey did not travel well. I am the best cooker of turkeys. This has been established.
Yeah.
In the family, I know how to finesse a turkey, if you will.
You sweet talk that turkey.
I have said often I would love to have the Thanksgiving here.
Yeah.
But the wife says, well, the house isn't big enough for 15, 20 people.
I think you could shove them in here and make it comfortable for yourself.
We did when my daughter was like 1 month old.
Yeah.
I mean, I think we could too. But we always go to our my sister-in-law's, which is fine. You know, she's a good cook and everything. Although she can't cook a turkey, she tells. So she's cooking like the breast separately and dark meat separately. And I'm not a big fan of that, but
no,
whatever.
No.
But there's a new wrinkle this year.
Oh.
My mom and the mother-in-law are not getting along.
Do tell.
And this has actually been going on for, I want to say, a year and a half.
What's going on? Why?
It had something to do with when me and Elisa went away to celebrate, delayed, our anniversary.
Okay.
I think they were both, like, looking after Skylar. And I think my parents had car trouble. And there was some sort of issue there. You know, most of these things, it's petty nonsense.
Of course.
You know, I mean, I understand frustration on both ends. Because I think my parents had asked for one day, but then they tried to switch it. So that then my mother-in-law switched it to another day and acquiesced to my parents. And then my parents couldn't come because the car broke down. Something like that.
Oh, okay. So it was like, how dare you?
It was just like some type of circumstances. And you know what? I understand being annoyed, but let's everybody get over it.
Yeah,
but this is between women, so it escalated. Men don't have this nonsense.
Oh yeah, come on, men have dick swinging contests all the time.
No, think about it. Think about me and Joe had a knockdown drag out.
Yes. Oh yes.
But I mean, now we're thick as thieves again. You know what? We had it. We got over it. It didn't last a year and a half. We said what we had to say.
There is a lot more of passive aggressive mean girl stuff that goes on with
women.
Oh
no, I'm passive aggressive. And I'm aggressive aggressive. I'm active aggressive too.
Yeah, both. But I think that the I don't know if everybody has their different styles of doing this. But anyway, I'll concede women hold grudges.
Yeah, they hold grudges because you know what?
I do.
We're dying soon, so let's make everybody miserable until we leave. So whatever, you know, they've been in the same place at the same time and it's been fine. They don't really talk to each other. Apparently my mother-in-law makes snide comments that I was unaware of that my wife told me about. I'm like, oh, I never heard them. I'm like did she say it loud enough for
that
people
your who, mom heard?
I don't know.
Oh,
you know, it's just like, you know, really? And I don't think my father-in-law heard because he's hard of hearing. You got to really shout at my father-in-law. But he's such a good dude. I don't think he'd be putting up with that type of nonsense.
Well, you know what? Oops.
What?
Apparently, I cannot type the word Dunross and talk at the same time. Because I just called one of our listeners Dernoos.
I love Dernoos. Big fan of Dernoos. Yeah. Dernoos always writes funny stuff. Hello, Dernoos.
Sorry about that, Dunross.
Oh, it's Dunross? I thought it was Dernoos.
No, you know what?
I like Dunross too, but Dernoos and Dunross together.
Dernoos is awesome.
Dernoos is awesome, but so is Dunross.
Dunross is cool in his own way, and Dernoos has his own kind of cool.
Dernoos, like, thinks outside the box. That's what I like about Dernoos.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? He is an independent thinker. I like it.
Yeah, I like the Dernoos.
We like them both.
Sure.
I'm glad they're both here tonight in the chat.
Twins. Anyway.
Sorry. That was derailed.
That was about nothing.
I know, but the whole show is.
So now it's affecting my life. And you know.
Your enjoyment of the holidays or worse. Because of worse?
Worse. Uh-oh. Because, you know, really, the show is named after me for a reason.
Yes.
And it's all about me. And that carries over to my life.
I realized that.
Yes.
Early.
Exactly. And that's why we work out well. Joe did not at one point.
He was disillusioned.
Well, you know, listen, Joe thought his marriage was about him, too. It wasn't. So Joe often thinks that. But no. So, like I said, they've been together in the same place together before.
Right.
You know, and my sister-in-law calls up my... because we were supposed to host this year. But then because my sister-in-law's mother and father-in-law... because it's from a different marriage.
Okay.
And, you know, they're not ill. They're not well, and they're alone. So now they're coming to my sister-in-law's house.
Oh.
So that's
why it's going to be, like, such a big family
It
gathering.
Always is that way.
Yeah.
And, we do Passover there. We do everything there. I'm tired of driving! So I thought we were going to do it here. There was talk we were going to do it here. We're not doing it here. So my sister-in-law's sweetheart says, well, should I invite, you know, my folks? I said, yeah. So my folks don't want to come.
Oh, I do understand that. I'm sorry. I'm like, you know, because, that's just the topic because there's always somebody who gets there at a joint about what somebody else did. And it's like, well, if they're going to come, I'm not going to come.
And I think it's about my mom and my mother-in-law.
Yeah.
Because I think my dad and my father-in-law get along fine. They're, you know.
Can't they just shut up and eat?
That's what I said. Shut the hell up, eat. Because now... now it's affecting me.
Yeah, because now where are you supposed to defect and go to the
in-laws? No, now my parents are going to come up here on Sunday.
So now you have to do this shit twice.
Yeah.
Oh.
So I'll probably cook like prime rib or something. Or my mom. My mom always cooks and brings up the stuff. It's not the point. I could have.
No, wait. No, I'm distracted. I'm hungry. Prime rib? What?
Yeah, I got like two of them in the freezer.
Yeah. Boy, howdy. Wait a minute. Now I'm more interested in having the two holiday celebrations.
We could gorge ourselves twice.
Twice?
I don't see a problem.
In one weekend, she said, trying to raise both eyebrows.
Only twice? There is a Friday and a Saturday.
Oh, yes. Those will be filled with all of the delicious leftovers. Mm. Well, you know, the chat is weighing in, and Lisa says...
Oh, they better weigh in now. They're going to weigh a lot more at the end of the week.
I'm not going to speak on that topic. Davin is right, Lisa says.
Yes, Lisa.
They need to get over it.
You know, every time Lisa says Davin is right, I can't help but feel like she's a kindred spirit of mine.
You get a warm and fuzzy every time she jumps on your bandwagon.
I feel very good about having Lisa on my bandwagon.
Tom is weighing in and says it sounds like my mom's family.
So Tom feels the pain.
Yeah.
I mean, my family's not the only one that does this nonsense. I bring it up because I know a lot of families do.
Thanksgiving is the traditional dysfunctional family celebration.
Yeah, it is.
It is.
But you know what? It's bad enough I'm schlepping. I got to drive through a damn snowstorm to get to a gig tomorrow night.
I know. Oh, the timing.
You know what? They need to suck it up. But they can't. It's not like I could tell my parents... literally, shut the F up and tell my mother-in-law, shut the F up, and do what my dad did when my two cats growing up, when they were kittens, didn't get along, and tie them together and make them work it out.
Wait. This is bringing up a fabulous idea. Tie them together and make them work.
Mother-in-law cage match. A strap match. They're strapped to each other.
Make them so angry at you, they would, you know, bond.
That's not impossible
to do.
Over
the hatred.
As you know... making people angry at me is a skill I have.
You know what? It's just sort of innate.
It is.
It's not even a skill.
It's very easy for me to bring out my inner douchebag.
You can summon him at will.
I really can.
I've seen it happen.
Yes, you have. Everybody can clasp hands and join in as inner douchebag Davin comes to the party.
You know, fake Davin is so kind and crazy and charming.
Well, charming,
but,
yes.
But douchebag Davin, yeah, not so much.
Yeah, well, inner douchebag Davin.
Inner douchebag Davin. You know what? I think that I like the idea of tying them together.
It's just so unnecessary.
It's all this stupid catty remarks and who offended who.
We're talking about people that are 70 and in their late 60s.
Yeah, you're going to hold on to this stuff?
And now I feel bad because I'm not going to see my folks on Thanksgiving.
I know. And they're going to be sitting there. You know what, though? They would have to do the whole passive-aggressive thing and go and get, like, Swanson TV dinners.
No, I think
like
they'll
turkey.
Go out to eat. They'll be all right.
Yeah?
I think
okay.
They'll go out. My mom's not cooking a turkey for her and my dad.
No.
That ain't happening.
No.
Only I bought a 20-pound turkey for three of us that I'm going to cook at some point in December because the wife loves the turkey.
Yeah, but
loves the way I cook a turkey.
Did you get a free turkey?
Well, yeah, from the supermarket.
Yeah, and it goes up to 21 pounds.
And I got 21.07 ounces. Beating the man!
Yep.
I Ferguson'd that turkey!
That will be in the dictionary. I Ferguson'd that!
Well, I'm certainly not going to Cosby it, because that's gross.
Oh, no. Ooh.
Although the turkey is not moving, so it passed out, so.
Oh, so it would be Cosby'd.
It would be Cosby'd.
You know what? We were talking in the office about a tofurkin.
A tofurkin.
Have you heard about...
What is that, like a fake turkey?
Turducken.
Turducken. Yeah. It's a turkey with a chicken inside of it, which is duck. I want to have one of them.
Yeah. They debone them and then shove them inside each other's orifices.
The only thing only thing I would object to is I think you need a bone in an orifice.
Are you getting in that orifice without a bone?
I mean, I'm just speaking from personal experience.
I've seen that try to happen. It's not as that good.
But I guess if all the birds are passed out, you could pretty much stick anything anywhere. I guess Cosby's the
he would be the test case.
He would.
Yes.
He was ter-fucking some people.
Yes, he did. I can't do it.
Well, we'll get to Cos, but so you're going to the sister-in-law. Now, you were talking about before the show, you're looking at getting a new TV?
Yeah, you know, my brother is super generous around the holidays. And
I should really reach out to him.
You should. You should get to know him better.
I know him well enough.
Yeah, I know. as he likes to call himself on the show, Pimp Helix bought me a TV like years ago, and at the time it was a pretty impressive television, but we're already going back in time enough that it was impressive, and it was one of those gigantic backside TVs.
Well, that's the way they all were.
They all were.
I like my TVs like I like my women. Gigantic backsides.
And it was a big black backside.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Nice.
Yes, it was. And so it was so enormous that I...
Go on.
I had to buy a new piece of furniture to house the thing.
Oh, yeah, you have to, because they were really heavy.
It was...
But do you remember the 32-inch I had back here? Because now I got a flat screen.
Yeah, I know.
But I had the fat back. They're called fat backs. The 32.
It was enormous.
It was a great picture.
Yeah.
It was a great picture, but I'm like, yeah, enough of that.
Yeah, well, you know what? No, this thing, we were looking at television to look at the weather right before the show came on, and
that's how we party before show.
I know, woohoo! That's our pre-show party, and Davin looked at me like, "What?" Because I'm staring at it. Because
my
like,
junk was out,
and I was staring.
Yeah. I was squinting. Yeah,
you know, it's staring, squinting. Just
it's all the same.
Yeah,
you won't feel a thing.
Yeah. It was, Tom says my TV was the Kardashian of TVs. Yes, it was.
Very good, Tom.
And so,
you mean it was oiled up and all over the internet?
It could be. it had, I like big TVs and I cannot lie. Oh, sorry. So anyway, your television, your flat screen is enormous. But that's not why I was staring at it.
It's not really. It's like a 40 or 42.
No,
inch.
To me that's enormous. But
yeah, compared to what either. Yeah, it is compared to like a regular fatback.
Yeah, it's really big. But the other thing is
that's really how I show my dominance. I mark my territory by my television. Now
it's black.
That's the biggest TV. Yes, that's the biggest TV I can get in this room size. I would like a bigger TV. I mean, the TV's plenty size. I'm not itching to get a new one.
Yeah.
Because if you get them bigger and you can't go further back,
right,
it's pixelated and you get a headache.
Yeah, no.
So this is as big as I can get for the space I have allotted.
Right. Now, it's not like one of those things that's like the entire wall and you're like, oh, my God, do you have issues? What are you trying to prove to people? It's just...
a lot?
Yeah. And that big red truck that you have in the part in the driveway, too, with the... super.
That's just for my rape endeavors. Anyway, did I say that out loud?
Yes, you did.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But the this television, I was staring at it, and Dad was like, what are you looking at? He got something new. You got a cable box.
New cable
thingy.
Box. Yeah, the cable box was an issue.
It was HD TV already, but you said it was HD something else?
Well, no. There's two ways you can hook up the cable to the television. There's components, which is like the typical wires, like red, white, blue, yellow. You know, like
yeah.
And there's an HDMI cable.
Okay.
And HDMI is supposedly better than the components. But my old cable box did not have an HDMI thing.
Oh,
so I was going with the component thing. Now the new cable box has HDMI. And when I saw it, I'm like, oh, it looks a little better. But you've seen the TV on before.
Yes, but this was just, you can see everything. I know the first time people see HD TVs, because I don't have that at home.
But you've seen, but I've had the TV on when you're here before.
Yes, and I've seen that. But it's even crisper, and I was just staring at this newscaster. I don't know if he was the weatherman or not, because
which
I was
one?
The guy that I with the little bit of scrub on his,
the black guy, the guy doing sports.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, sports. Okay.
That might have been Otis Livingston. I'm not sure.
I was so fixated on the fact that I could see every hair on his face that I forgot what he was even talking about. And Dad was like, "What? Looking at me like
not great for hirsute porn. Hirsute porn. Not great for that."
Oh, ooh.
You see every hair. Well, then again, if you watch a hirsute porn,
then you want to see every hair.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? You would also see like every flaw on the skin. Like they showed one of the players, and I could see every mark on his face. He's not wearing makeup.
Once you get TV. The high def TVs, you really can't go back.
No.
So you're going to get a high def TV?
I'm thinking that we must.
Well, you can't get it. They don't make them the other way anymore.
I know. You know what? That's so weird.
Unless you're going to go to like to a Super 8 hotel and like get one of the ones they have in the room.
Hey. Why
no,
not?
But I mean, everything they have is like high def. It's like, you know, for a while they stopped making black and white TVs.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah, why don't you ask for a 19-inch black and white?
Yeah, I'm sure we have rabbit ears in the hoard.
Can I get rabbit ears with that?
Yeah, can I just put some tinfoil on that? Oh, beauty!
No, you're going to get a high def. The question is, what type?
Yeah.
What are you going to get? This is an LG. I'm happy with it. I got a Vizio upstairs. I like the LG a little bit better.
You know, I'm a complete HD virgin.
You got to, you just go online and look at, you know, consumer reviews and reports. You go to Amazon, look at reports. And
yeah. We just kind of decided that at the moment that I sat and went, oh, my God, you can see every pore. And I know that other people have discovered this first, but I still have, like, I don't have a smartphone.
Right.
I never got an MP3 player or anything. Like,
oh,
I skipped all that stuff.
I just did something very cool for, like, $15.
What?
We'll see how well it works. Wow. I ordered something from Amazon where you see that wall of old technology?
Yes,
of cassettes.
We have remarked upon your old technology in the past.
The old technology wall.
Yes, the wisdom of the ancients.
Yes, the cassettes and everything, which a lot of great music I can't listen to anymore.
Right.
I bought this thing for like $15. I plug it into the computer. I can convert it to MP3s.
So smart.
Now, all three Joe Perry projects shall live again!
Well, I have a boombox that has a cassette thing.
Yeah, all that cassette right there, the stereo, most of that stuff is dead. The receiver's still good. Most of my cassettes are like
yeah. Well, those are the ones that I left on the back seat in the summer. But
No, it's not the tapes. It's the cassette players. No, but that's what happened in cassettes. I liked the technology. And I told my wife, I go, well, you know, I want to put these on CDs. Like, well, you got to convert to a WAV file. She's like, you know, when we get a new car, they're not going to have a CD player in it. I'm like, bullshit. She's like, well, the new computers don't have CDs either. I'm like, this is a bunch of crap
You know, yeah, this is a bunch of crap right here.
I'm not willing to let go of the technology.
Well,
I like holding something, obviously.
I can't keep up. I cannot keep up with the technology. And I am
Said
one
the
of,
woman with a vast 8-track collection.
I never jumped on that. That was a little bit, I'm a little too young for that. having I had like three of them I got at a garage sale, but you could hear the other tracks bleeding through.
Oh, that's terrible.
I know, it was really terrible.
I never owned an A-track before my time.
I think I owned two or three
when I was
life.
A kid. My mom bought me a lot of records.
Yeah.
But when
yeah.
I started buying music, it was all cassettes, and I like the technology.
Yeah, yeah.
But we'll see how this works out. If it works out, you know, for $15, I'm very happy.
Yeah. That would be really good.
And
to
it
have.
Works with the recording software we use. Audacity.
Oh, nice.
That, it actually comes with Audacity, but we already have Audacity.
Oh, we have a lot of Audacity.
We certainly do. So you going to go out on the Black Friday?
No.
Well, that's when you got to go.
Nope.
That's when you got to go and get the TV.
No. Won't do it. No, right. No.
Go Cyber Monday.
I'm fundamentally opposed to shopping on Thanksgiving or Black Friday.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, we've talked about this before. I don't want to get into it
yeah,
again.
Yeah, no.
But, I mean, they got to stop with having it on Thanksgiving. They got to stop.
They got to stop.
We don't need to shop. Let those people have a day off.
Really? No, it is really, truly ridiculous, and it shows how... there's a great meme on Facebook. And
there
I thought,
always is.
I know. I love them. I know you
make
fun of
me. Angry Cat got a movie. Or Grumpy Cat.
That's another whole thing.
Yes, really.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm a cat lover.
Oh, I love that cat, but I don't want to see a movie
really,
about
do
it.
You?
I do.
He's a cat.
She.
Whatever. Who
is
cares?
A beautiful kitty.
Really? I don't need it. Now Grumpy Cat's driving a car. Is it?
No.
Is it really?
I didn't see that either. But the... wait. Totally derailed. Wait, you brought up Grumpy Cat before I was talking
Black
about...
Black Friday.
Oh, Black Friday.
And shopping on Thanksgiving.
Oh, this is timely. I remember speaking about Black Friday when it was Black Friday, but I was in this shopping mall that was just completely pitiful and nobody shopped there. And I was in this Harmon discount store.
I don't
you know?
Know what that is.
You know, they have like a whole lot of toiletries, basically, and crappy items, as seen on TV.
Ugh.
And it's not a dollar store, but it's like cheaper stuff. But nobody was in there. It was really shocking.
The high-end store in Ferguson.
Well, wait.
Getting there.
And so the woman who was behind the counter happened to be black. And so I said something about, I can't believe it's this empty for Black Friday. And she said, you know, I think that's racial. And I said, excuse me?
I agree with her.
And no.
Black Friday? Absolutely.
How so?
That's when I grab all my black people and stick them in the trunk. It's no better time to shop than Black Friday.
Oh, my God.
You know, the cool thing is you could go by Walmart and they all gather there like a moth to a light.
Like they're waiting for you to come and shove them in the trunk.
You mean that's not why they're there?
No, that's not why. No, that's actually Guatemalans that are standing outside of the store waiting to be picked
that's
up.
That's Home
Depot. Yes, I
do. You really need to know your racism in stores properly.
You know what? I can't get my racism in stores together.
No, I know. I've had jokes about that being, you know, Black Friday.
Right? Yeah. And
but no, it's about the businesses finally going to black. They finally... For the year they finally made money.
They finally make money. And when I explained that to her, she looked at me like I had ruined her whole day because she didn't have something to argue with me about.
Well, you had taken her away her right to feel persecuted.
Yes, I did.
How dare you?
On that particular issue, yes, I did. And she went, oh, cracker. No, she didn't say that. She just thought
she said,
it.
Nigga, please.
Oh, no, she didn't say that either. But she was just so annoyed. And then when I took away all the puff out of her argument, she was like, oh.
Yeah. My word.
Wind out of her sails. what? Lisa in the chat room says something that makes absolutely no sense.
That often happens.
No deal is worth all that. Oh, she's trying to say craziness, but she's having a typo moment. It says Craxianus. Yeah, I think nothing is worth all that Craxianus.
No, you know, that's not true. Depends what you're looking for. You know, I don't know if I said to you before the show. You go to Best Boy, buy one of their doorbusters, a 50-inch flat-screen Samsung TV for $1.99.
Yeah.
That's worth getting up for.
No, that's good. My brother and I, when we were kids, went to a Black Friday thing, and we had a divide-and-conquer strategy, and he was running to get this television, which
right.
I don't remember what the price was, but it was for our parents. We were buying Christmas gifts for our parents, and we were very excited about them. And he was older than me, so he had
not
more
your
money.
Parents, just the gifts.
Yeah, we were excited about the gifts that our parents could go to hell.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. So he was going to go stomping over and get the TV, and I had my eye on the prize that was in the flyer I was getting the vacuum cleaner.
Oh.
I was very excited. I was young. I was very excited.
That makes it worse.
I was
a young girl excited over a vacuum cleaner.
I know. I was like, this is the premier vacuum cleaner, and my parents shall own this proudly. They shall suck with superior quality.
Somebody's getting a Dyson.
No. Dyson didn't exist back then. It was some little canister jobby that I thought was going to be good.
Somebody's getting a dirt devil.
Not even. No.
It was... Somebody's getting a piece of shit that's on sale.
That's what it was.
I tried. It was
like top of the line for the, in my mind,
sure.
For the day. It was this little canister thingy. But I thought, wow, that's a great price, and they're going to love this. And so I was ready. I just thought, okay, everybody burst into the store. They run to the thing they want, and then they beat people until they get it. And I just flew with that vacuum cleaner. And I was practically jumping up and down like Rocky on the top of the stairs in Philadelphia.
Sure, it's a victory.
Nobody else wanted it. I was the only one running for the stupid vacuum.
Yeah, I mean, me and the wife, we've talked about this. We've done the Black Friday.
Yeah.
We might do it this year. We've woken up real early, stayed up real late. There's not a thing we really need.
No.
It's a shame.
You have a wonderful television.
Oh, thank you.
Will that fit my hoarder mobile?
I doubt it.
Look the other way. Look over there.
We have, you know, we have pretty much the stuff we need. Now it's stuff like if I happen to see the circular, you know, I guess stuff for the kid. But she's got her wish list, too.
Oh, sure.
But, and like, her stuff isn't that expensive. Although she does want an iPad Touch, which is like $300.
What does that do?
I think it's like a smartphone, but without the telephone service.
Okay.
So we got to look at that. I'll look at the circulars tomorrow as I watch the snow pile up before I trek out there.
As you stand there cursing out the window.
But we were talking about just now about waiting online and taking things from store in a legal fashion.
Yes.
Not everybody does that.
Nice.
So first of all, I think I've come to the realization, though I've known this for some time, and I will not change my behavior, unfortunately, because I'm not that bright.
Okay.
I need to stop.
That's a hell of a lead in.
I need to stop posting provocative stuff on my Facebook page.
Oh, no, you don't. No, you don't. I sat back with a cigarette and a smile. I was just eating the popcorn going, look at him go! Whee!
It happens a lot on my Facebook page.
I'll say.
And if you notice with me on my Facebook, like these political things or whatever, hot button topics and everything.
Yes.
I'll be in it in the beginning.
Right.
And then it'll turn very ugly somewhere by the other people participating, whether the ones on my side or the ones arguing against me. It'll turn very ugly. And if you notice, I kind of bow out.
Yes, yes.
Because I'm like, you know what? These are friends. I don't... This is not the point I was bringing up.
No. By the way, Trucker Tom says, can we isolate that? I'm not that bright. That was you.
Good point, Tom.
But no, he is bright in the sense that he does step out when it starts getting like you know, hatchets are being thrown.
And I do that. If you see, if you read my post, I don't know how often you read my posts.
Not all. I don't catch every single thing, but I see them a lot.
Everyone's a gem. you can't go wrong. What, the one I told you before the show about the about Michael Vick?
That was good.
Yeah, I posted last night the Jets were getting beaten up by the Buffalo Bills. Michael Vick is their quarterback. I go, Michael Vick against the Buffalo defense is a black on black crime.
That's too true.
It was. They Fergusoned him.
No, it was very funny. And
it gets real ugly. And yeah. Here's what I noticed, though. Here's what I noticed when I have these political arguments, and when those I'm usually going against people who are more right-leaning than myself.
Uh-huh.
On this one, I guess I was more on the right side of this particular argument, not meaning right-correct. I mean right versus left.
Yeah.
But what I do is, like, I kind of narrow it down to a point,
right.
An issue. Like one thing. And I noticed whoever I'm arguing with, whether it be right or left, never, today was left, but often it's right,
mm-hmm.
can never address that issue.
Nope.
And then all the other arguments come into it. And I used to think, well, that's just the way the right argues.
No, that's how the internet argues.
Because usually I'm like, I'm defending something Obama did, and then they'll, Benghazi or whatever, like, we're not talking about that.
The whole pantry comes in.
But today it happened where I was actually arguing on the right side. I guess it's the right side of thing. I don't really think it's a right side of thing, but some of the people who are usually backing me up on the left stuff were on counterpoint on me on this one. But again, nobody can answer the stuff I put out there.
Nobody could stay on topic. Not nobody, but I mean, like, when you see those things start to happen, where and Tom, I love you. But the funny thing was when it starts to degenerate into all of the the usual internet arguments.
Oh, it always does.
It becomes grammar and syntax and spelling. It becomes
name calling.
This person doesn't like foul language. This person it becomes classist. This person is like, now we're going to call each other names about what political views we have.
I try to get things back on topic usually.
I don't. No. There was some trying to bring it back in, like you have to do with me in
general. And then I kind of like, all right, we'll do comic relief now.
Well, that's where I came in at the very end. I didn't see it as it was happening.
My thing. I'm trying to do show prep for the show. Bing, 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 bing. Facebook is going nuts. Bing, bing, bing. Son of a bitch, I should delete this.
I went in.
Here was the hot topic thing that I asked in this particular case. I said on Facebook, because I was talking about Ferguson, I had a lot of very funny Ferguson jokes, in my opinion. Because
yeah,
if there's human tragedy, I'm making fun of it. No.
Well, yeah. I mean, you had to laugh because it was so crazy.
The argument by some has been that this is a race issue.
Yes.
And my argument has been, all right, what do we have here? We have two African-American men.
Right.
Who went into a convenience store, may or may not have robbed it, you know, there's conflicting things.
Right.
We're walking in the middle of the street. A white police officer confronted them.
Right.
Shots were fired. One black man is dead.
Yeah.
If this was purely based on race, why wouldn't we have two black men dead? Why wouldn't he kill them both?
Right.
Something went down.
Yes.
Now, whether it's this Officer Wilson exactly the way he said it,
mm-hmm.
we don't know. Right. Whether this should go to a jury... Perhaps,
mm-hmm.
but I still think, you know, if it had come out against the way the African Americans won in this particular case, there'd still be riots. It would just be a few months from now.
But
whatever the case, it wasn't. I don't see this as a race thing, and some people do, and that's what I was honing in on. Is go then explain to me why we don't have two dead black men? Because one black man apparently listened to the cop when he said, "Get out of the street."
Yeah,
and the cops have hassled me. When I was a teen, I've been pulled over and they've scared the crap out of me.
Yes.
And messed with me. And you know, I'm like, all right, just be cool. Don't escalate this, because you know there's bad cops.
Oh yeah,
you know that they have a hair trigger.
Yes,
some of them do. I'm not saying they don't.
And some of them are like, you know, they're just like Nazis in newer, more PC uniforms.
And if you're an African American, chances are you have more scary. Experiences with the cops.
Yes.
So if you know this, and you know you just may or may not have robbed the store, but either way you had a confrontation in a store because you shoved around a shop owner,
mm-hmm.
the cop tells you, get on the street. Get on the sidewalk, stupid.
Yeah, really, just move.
I mean...
I was not there, obviously.
You weren't?
No, I wasn't there. You know, I wasn't buying my cigars at that convenience store that night. But the thing is that there... Now, no one... was there, so we have to go by all this conflicting information. I understand that a lot of people take each individual incident and want to use it as a springboard to bring up the larger conversation about race in our society.
And I just had that conversation with a friend of mine. Here was our point with this. This was the wrong case to do that.
Yes.
There's plenty of cases where you can, and I go back a couple months ago, there was an African-American, a white cop tells him to pull over into a gas station. This is all on the cop's camera and everything. Says black guy does it. Says, all right, go get your license. Guy reaches into his car to get his license. White cop starts shooting him. Shoots him in the leg, shooting him
crazy.
All over the place. The white cop got fired. That was race,
yes.
Justifiably so.
Absolutely.
That's a bad cop. We don't necessarily have that here. And this was not a good kid.
No.
I mean, you know, people say, well, the 10 minutes before doesn't matter. It gives a window into this was not a nice person. Now, does he deserve to be dead? No.
No.
Not necessarily.
No.
But it does make it more believable that perhaps he was struggling with this cop.
Right.
Do I believe a 6'4" white cop was thrown around like a rag doll, like he was saying? If you are, then you need to work out.
Yeah,
exactly. You shouldn't be a cop. If you're 6'4" and you're getting thrown around. Like, if I got thrown around by that big black guy, you kind of get that.
Totally believable.
Yeah, exactly. I would pay for such a thing.
You would pay for such a thing?
I was certainly thrown around like that, be that close to a burly black man. Hell yeah.
I slate that.
Yes.
I think that's... it's not a good test case to talk about racism in America. It's just really not. I mean, there are much better ones to
use. And I gave you one.
Yeah.
And I feel bad for the family. And I understand why the family wants justice. I get that. But you know what? Now your legacy for this, because you're destroying properties in your own neighborhood, probably a lot owned by African Americans, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Now the legacy is crime. It is assault because they've thrown things at people and everything.
Right.
That's what Michael Brown and Ferguson is remembered for. You haven't furthered the cause.
Arson, looting. Yes. No.
You've fed into every stereotype that white races have about you.
Yes. You just should have run around looting while eating fried chicken because you couldn't have made people happier. You know? That would be the only thing that would make them happier.
Just see him spitting watermelon seeds at the reporter.
Right, right. I mean, just you know, that would be the only thing that made them happy, grabbing Kardashians by the arm and running
away
with them.
Well, I put on Facebook that, you know what, we need another Kim Kardashian ass shot to calm down Ferguson.
That would just inflame
them. No, because the good thing about Kim is she shares that ass with everybody.
That's true. That there would have been at least order as lines would form.
Exactly. Hopefully.
What were the women supposed to do? Oh, I don't know. Beat her ass because the men are lining up on the back.
But the point is, I got to stop posting that stuff.
No. What excuse do I have to eat popcorn in the middle of the afternoon?
But these are people I like who are just like fighting each other with such vitriol.
I know.
And sometimes they post things and I wonder, why am I friends with them? because like their views really come out and go, oh my God, how are we friends?
I had that experience talking about something that was in the news with a group of friends, and one friend who had maybe one drink too many let loose with something that I found to be like really shockingly racist. And I went,
oh, okay.
Oh, my
shockingly,
God.
Shockingly, so it wasn't me.
No, it wasn't you. No, because that would be no surprise at all.
Exactly.
That's called Tuesday.
Yes.
But no, this friend just came out with something, and I went, oh my God. I didn't know she
felt
that
way.
But
that was in person.
Yes.
It's a little different.
Oh, on the internet, everyone's invincible. It's like being in a big car if you're a little person. It's like, I have tons of steel. Ha ha. I can beat your ass. You know, everybody
I get really uncomfortable
aggressive.
When people that I'm friends with start going at each other with such vitriol. On Facebook.
I do too. I mean, I'm kidding about that.
But I don't delete people. I don't block people. I don't delete posts. I let it escalate. Because you know what? This is the way I look at it. Well, they're revealing whatever they want to reveal about themselves. You know, I believe in free speech. Say whatever you want. I'm not going to say those things because I don't think that way.
There are certain things. I do tend to be a little bit more proprietary about my own page. And if something's going on my own page that I don't really like, it's getting a little too uncomfortable, somebody is obviously feeling like they're getting beat up, I'll step in and go, whoa, everybody calm down.
No,
calm
don't
down.
Do that.
Knock it off. No, I will.
I mean, you might be right.
No, it's just my personal preference. My other friend said, I believe in freedom of speech. I let anybody say whatever they want to say.
That's pretty much what I do.
Not on my fucking page.
Yeah, because it's true. You own it. Well, I mean, Facebook owns it, but...
Facebook owns it, but it's mine.
Yeah.
I like... Look, I like to say silly things. I like memes that are funny to me. I like puppies and kittens. I like to post scary, frightening, awful things at Halloween.
It's a very lighthearted, good-natured page you have,
Pam. It is.
It's a feel-good page.
It's a feel-good...
You know what?
She's so sick in the head kind of page.
No, not that. When you have a tum-tum ache... You know, you don't feel good. You're having a bad day. You go to Pip Helix's page.
That's right.
Because it'll be like a cute little kitty.
There is going to be something that is going to make you feel better.
Hey, well,
unless I feel awful, and then everybody goes down with
me.
Unless
you're bitching about work.
unless I'm bitching about work, and I'm burning stuff in my office, and I've got a podcast going on. Hey, webcast of me burning this shit down. Oh, wait a second. I forgot where I worked.
See, I don't really have a feel-good page.
No.
I don't know what I think.
No. No, there are people, I think it all has to do with, like, upbringing and stuff.
I have a terrible upbringing.
Now, I'm like, calm that stuff down, let's bring it
repress
back.
Repress the feelings.
Yes, it will repress the scary anger stuff. I'm uncomfortable with dissension. But shockingly enough, where I'm sitting right now, I am uncomfortable with dissension. I have to allow it to happen. And say, it's okay.
I've said I'm uncomfortable with some of the things, too.
Yeah, I know.
But I just allow it. But like I said, usually these things devolve when I bring up a point. And this one devolved when I brought up a point.
Yes,
it did. And people can't answer the point, which I feel bad for my wife, because that's how I argue. it does make for good radio with the scammers, though, because it's kind of what I did to our scammers.
Yes, holding them to the issue, because they love to dance around it so that they can try to get money from you and distract from the things that would, like, point out how fake they are. But you're like, no, back on point.
Yeah.
Back to the thing I asked. No, back again to the thing I asked. And it's like, oh, my God. It's like a dog with a bone.
And I thought it was a Republican, because usually when I'm arguing with my conservative friends, it's one specific thing about Obama, and I'll have an answer for that, and I'll show a link from a nonpartisan thing that explains it.
Yes.
And you would think that would further the conversation.
Or
end the conversation.
End the vitriol.
But instead, it always takes another detour.
Oh,
well, you've addressed that, but I won't acknowledge it. And how about this? And how about... And I don't have the mind for it. It's like, no, I'm not going to argue with you on everything today.
No, it's kind of like trying to plug a hole in the dike.
Which
and
is
I don't
one of my favorite
lesbian
things.
Type.
Oh, then I don't want to plug it. Damn it. I thought we were going to have fun on this show.
Well, we will. But it's trying to, like, plug the hole in the dike with cheesecloth. You know, another hole's going to spring up, you know? It's like, oh, I got it wedged in this corner. There it goes. But it goes off in a different direction. It's sort of like, now it's going to spurt in your eye. It's going to go over your head. It's not going to go just where it was coming up before. It gets a little crazy on the internet. And people will bring up points that you're like, where the hell did that come from?
My wife gets annoyed by how much I post.
Why?
I guess because it keeps on showing up on her feed.
She's like, I want to see people besides you. I have to deal with you every day.
Pretty much. And because I write, like, controversial stuff.
Oh, and so then she has to see all the controversial stuff?
I guess. It's just not really her thing. She has more of a page. Not that she's even on Facebook that much, but more to your style and everything. But then I do get people that, they say they like what I post.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a place to go, and you do have... I mean, I find that because of when you're writing the show and you have thought-provoking questions, you also have, like, bizarro asshole questions that make me laugh my ass off.
Like what?
Well, I was just talking about it in the beginning of the show.
But that was from last week's show. That's not like I put it on Facebook.
No. But I'm just saying that when you write for the show and you come up with those kind of things, that makes me laugh my ass off. But you have very thought-provoking questions here as well.
Well, thank you.
And Joe and I both stop and go, oh, you know, and I love that. You know, it's like, let me activate another axon in my brain because enough of it isn't working.
I like to further the discourse.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, perhaps Facebook is not the place to do it.
No, because it's discordant already. And it's
but I like it. But now Facebook is my open mic because I don't go to open mics anymore as a comic.
Right.
But like jokes that I put on Facebook, like last week it was Cosby.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to in a second. You know, it worked itself into my act.
Yeah, and you see what works.
Yeah.
I agree with you. It's like sometimes you just find, wow, I hit a nerve there, you know? That's what people want to talk about. Cool.
I judge my act by how many likes you give it on Facebook. Although sometimes it's quite misleading. Like a bunch of likes on Facebook lead to a crappy bit, and I don't know it until we're in it.
They're not writers.
No, they're not.
No. And sometimes it works in words, but not in person.
Yeah.
It's not an exact science.
Well, go on.
No, I was just going to say that people on the internet, I've seen people go through, message boards.
Yeah.
Oh, God, message boards.
I used to be on those. I used to be on a comic one. I don't do that anymore.
Yeah, message boards,
just
they go through.
Just release the fight.
They go through internet wars and, you know, flame wars.
Reddit, same thing.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't do that.
Yeah.
Because I really want to stay away from the trolls.
Yes. Some people... just they aren't interested in getting at the truth of something or trying to turn somebody onto their point of view. They just want to go there and annoy someone and see how mad they can get them.
When I went on this porn message board for like all these people that like own like are in the porn industry.
Yeah.
And I was when the Melissa Midwest thing came out when she took over for Alvalos.
Right.
I was trying to raise issues on there and everything like irrationally, right. And they were just attacking me like an. I was like, really?
Really?
I think the site was like, go fuck yourself. And I complained to a friend of mine.
You are trying to make reason out of a son called go fuck yourself.
And that's what somebody said to me. It's like, well, it is kind of cold that.
Did you notice where you were?
Yeah.
Are you lost, son?
And it's like, yeah, you know, you got a point there. It's, what was I trying to accomplish over there?
I know. It's like, I don't go to Reddit because I know. I don't even read it because I know I will be upset and because the trolls.
Only when they talk about our show will you be upset.
Oh, God.
We made it on Reddit once.
Yeah, yeah, I know. No,
did you
I
ever see those?
No, no. No. Please. Trucker Tom was the only good thing we got out of the comments at when we were at the compound.
Well, we picked up a couple fans. Trucker Tom's not the only one.
No, I know. But I mean, the ones that comment.
Oh,
you
yeah,
know,
yeah.
like a chat person.
He's a brave man, that Trucker Tom.
He is. He rode over hill and dale and followed us over to the other side of the river.
I wonder when the moment where Trucker Tom was, because we were universally hated at first, when he goes, all right, these guys don't suck. Because that was the minority opinion.
It totally, you know what, but as you've seen, Tom's not afraid to have the minority opinion.
No, no.
You know?
Usually I'm arguing with Tom about
that.
Oh,
yeah, yeah.
I felt very uncomfortable being on the relative same side of an issue with Tom.
Well, you know, there's one part that I was reading through it, and besides your liberal use of the C word...
And by the way, Tom, because Tom was involved in this, he was the first one to start with the name calling.
Yeah, no, he jumped right in there.
Yeah, which is usually a conservative thing.
As he says himself here in the chat, I come at full force, venom flowing like Niagara Falls. Yes, yes, that was true.
See, Tom feels because he puts up with my and Joe abuse that that's the same thing as dealing with, like, Facebook abuse.
Yeah, and, you know, now all those people are the same. I did start to have moments where I was picturing them Greco-Roman wrestling, the two that were...
That was hot.
That was hot.
He was arguing with my former radio show co-host.
I know. I recognize the name. I don't know if he had any idea who I was jumping in, but
I don't know.
I don't think so. But
he's so to the left that on that show, I was the right one.
I could tell from the conversation, but I didn't disagree. Oh, I'm sorry. You know what? I have this habit of...
You don't have to explain. Nobody gives a shit.
I know. Okay.
It's a technical thing.
Maybe they're hearing it.
No, they're not. But I just don't want the system to crash.
Okay, I'll... Let me just explain one thing, because this is kind of funny.
It's really not, but go ahead.
No, it is. I have this habit of... I bang the table while I'm talking about something emphatically, or I, like, rub the table because, you know, there are little edges of the table that I'm very tactile. So I'm doing
She's
that.
Stroking me now.
I'm stroking the table, and Davin's getting really nervous because I'm getting dangerously close to touching one of the wires that makes the system goes down, and I completely forgot about it. But it reminded me of way back in the olden days when I was in school for broadcasting, and I was uncomfortable doing the video portion, but it was part of the course, so I had to do it anyway. I really just like the audio portion. So we're doing the video, and so they're training us to be newscasters, and during the talking head part, we're being videotaped, and I was sitting there, and the microphones come with these little silica gel packs,
mm-hmm.
and so I had one, and I had it in my hands thinking it was off camera, and so I'm rubbing this little silica gel pack in my hands, and after they were done filming me, they showed me, and you could hear rustle, rustle, rustle,
yeah,
rustle,
okay.
And it looked like I had a little bag of Coke in my hands.
Well, it's hard to sit there, not do anything with your hands. Like if you saw when I was on TV a couple of weeks ago, I mean, I pretty much just I was cognizant.
Interlace the fingers.
Don't twiddle the thumbs because you don't want to distract. But it's hard.
Yeah, you were super non fidgety. You did really well.
Oh, thank you.
No, but it's a skill.
I was heavily medicated.
Clearly,
yes.
So wait, where were we before I started rubbing the table provocatively?
I don't know, but this is one of the posts. See, if you're not my friend on Facebook, this is one of my things of brilliance from 19 hours ago. This is what I put with it. This is what I posted. Not that this got the most likes or not even close. This is terrible. Somewhere a new alleged victim of Bill Cosby is waiting to be interviewed, but all CNN is being attacked in Ferguson.
Yes. Oh, that Tom said earlier that Cosby was saying, yes, thank you, news, thank you. Because it took the pressure off of him for a little while.
Yeah. All right, so I guess we should talk briefly about the cause.
Oh, yeah.
Where were my notes? So here's the thing. People say, well, why didn't these women come forward, the alleged victims of Bill Cosby, why didn't they come forward long ago? Well, you know what? Some of them did.
Mm-hmm.
And it really wasn't brought back to the attention. There was a settlement in 2006, but I don't remember getting a lot of coverage.
I didn't remember hearing about that at all.
I've heard about the whispers for a few years. I don't remember about 2006. I've heard about it before.
Okay.
But the way this came to the current news cycle was because a comedian, Hannibal Buress, has a joke about Bill Cosby and rape.
Okay.
And you know, I think the punchline is, Google Bill Cosby and rape, and he's got more hits than Hannibal Buress. There was more to it than that, but that was a thing. So okay. Somebody at the Hannibal Buress show recorded it, uploaded it to YouTube.
Right.
And it went viral. So I think it brings up a couple things. I think my profession, comedians,
yes,
are more relevant now than, they were very relevant in the 60s and 70s.
Sure.
But I don't think they were as relevant in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s.
What?
If you think about it, because that was a lot of the observational comedy.
Yes, but...
You know, airplane bits, a relationship stuff, difference between men and women, difference between black and white.
Yeah, but that was the renaissance of comedians.
I didn't know. Comedy was more popular in the 80s.
Yeah.
But I don't think they were relevant, saying things.
I think
we trusted our media more. There wasn't the 24-hour news cycle.
Right.
You had guys like Brokaw, Rather, Jennings.
Mm-hmm.
Who you tuned in, you know, whatever station you went to tune in,
right.
And you trusted them whether you should or shouldn't have.
Right, but you did, because it was bad. We still, Walter Cronkite was not that far out of the whole...
Right, this was the Cronkite legacy.
Yeah.
You know, where you turn on your 11:30 news, whatever it is, and there's going to be this trusted newsman.
Right.
And you listen to them. I don't think that's the case anymore. And the reason I say that, first of all, people who have half a brain are pretty distrustful of the cable news, whatever station it is, whether it be Fox, MSNBC, CNN, whatever your proclivity on politics, most educated people are skeptical of what they're seeing.
Yes.
And if they're not skeptical, you kind of wonder, well, then you just pretty much believe everything you say. And more people are getting their news from your daily shows,
mm-hmm.
your Colbert reports,
yes.
your Real Time with Bill Maher.
From comedians.
Which... is very scary.
It is and it isn't, because if you one of the functions of comedy in society is to turn the mirror on people in a way that is and sometimes it's softer than being confrontational, but in other styles it's more biting, it's more confrontational. Lenny Bruce.
Well, I agree with you about turning the mirror on it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I've always said, well, you know, comedy's more than making people laugh, because that is what we're there to do. Nobody wants to come to a preach show.
Yeah.
Or see a comic stand on their soapbox with no punchlines.
Right.
Because you know what? You want to go and laugh and forget about your problems for a little while. That's why anybody's coming to a comedy show. But I always like the comics that can make me think and laugh at the same time. Those are my favorite. Now, I know that's not everybody.
No.
I know a lot of people like Larry the Cable Guy, for instance. You know, it's mindless fluff comedy. I get that.
Yeah. But it's people need an escape. That's why there is room in... Well, there's room in any entertainment media. I find that there are a lot of musicians who they're just interested in, you know, nice beat, nice melody. Everybody likes it. It's inoffensive.
Yeah, it's called
whatever.
They want to make hits.
Yeah,
they want to get signed.
They want to make hits and stuff. And then there are always the people that have been on the fringe that either with the musical sounds or with the lyrics, mm-hmm. they're trying to punch through the niceties of society to get a point across.
Right, and those guys always have cult followings, big with the college kids.
Yes, yes. And people who are more likely to be button pushers, or people who are more likely to be, you know, not necessarily, I'm not trying to say that people who are intellectual are trolls, but I'm saying that, you know, some people like to push the envelope. Because they want people to think they're, you know, they're like, oh, you're dead inside until you've actually started thinking about these things. Other people are like, look, my life is so hard right now. I don't need all of this button pushing and you're always trying to push me to the edge and be edgy. No, I need comfort.
Yeah.
I want mashed potatoes when I listen to music, you know, calm me down, you know, because work sucked.
Well, I mean, I think comics are more important now than ever.
Yeah.
And now another thing about that I want to bring about, you know, well, how come these women didn't come forward? Because there's that question. So, and I don't want to get into the whole rape culture thing and about that. You know, that's a real, you know, there's a lot of shame involved with that.
Yes.
But I don't want to get into that because other people can discuss that.
Yeah.
People that are my victims can discuss that.
And they have.
And they have.
And it'll come out.
I hope so. because it was fun putting it in.
Oh, see?
Jesus.
See, because you're adding comedy into seriousness, and we don't know what to believe.
You know what? Because there's this whole, like, I don't know, irony or you know, satire thing.
I hope that'll be used against me in court. Anyway. But now I want to talk a little bit about my experience with the media.
Oh, I thought it was going to be your rape experience. Okay, your experience with
still
the media?
Still working my way through it.
Sorry. Yeah, there's a lot of didn't want to bring up something that personal.
There's a lot of pressure being a rapist.
No. No. The time
there is.
Yes, well, I'm sure that there is, but...
Well, because you know what? You only have a limited amount of time to finish.
Well, you know what? That's never been a problem, has it?
No, but, you know... But you're very excited and everything, but your senses are hyper aware because, you know, is the police right around the corner?
Well, What's that noise?
You know, if you're in a black community, probably, but for all the wrong reasons, I'm a white guy. But anyway.
Do you smell smoke?
I can't believe I'm going on a diatribe about my experience of raping people. What a terrible thing. That is right up there when the tech was failing and I talked about the difference between good abortions and bad abortions. That is right up there with horrible things I've said on this air. That's going to stop me from being your president, ladies and gentlemen.
I know that absolutely will, because these sound bites will live forever. The thing is,
or until I hit delete.
Wait a minute. No, but here's the thing that you don't want to leave these topics not on the table, because I mean, we have the fan fiction that Tom wrote, and we were going to touch on all these ugly, awful topics. No. Not those particular ones tonight.
All right, but anyway, I'll get back to my original point before I went on a stupid side thing that I did, because you know, whatever. The media does not give a voice to everybody. Everybody thinks, well, if it's a real story, the media will cover it. But it's not the case. First of all, there's really not a lot of investigative reporting anymore.
No, they don't have time.
I could think of one. Well, there's no money in it.
Right.
I could think of one investigative reporter. I'm sure there's more. But Matt Taibbi from Rolling Stone.
Yes.
You know, I think about it, it's a rock magazine that has the only investigative reporter.
I know, but they really do go in depth. And
right.
It is, like you said, investigative reporting. They're actually going out and they're going to the first... original sources.
Right. There's not a lot of investigative reporting. So say you're not going to go to an investigative report. You want to call up your Fox News, your NBC, your CNN, your MSNBC. If it doesn't fit, or your Daily News or whatever, your local paper.
Yeah.
If it doesn't fit the story they want to tell.
Yes.
Or if they have a vested interest in who you're trying to expose, you will not get the voice to tell that. And I never realized that until our dealings with the media over the past year.
Right.
I really had no idea. I'm like, well, if it's a story, tell a reporter. And I think most people think that way.
They do.
And you would think that way. Well, they need to get stories. They need content, especially on a 24-hour news cycle. I guess there's only three things going on in the world, because that's all CNN reports about. You know, but that's what most people think. And I don't blame them for that. But for instance, and I'll just go back to our history with the show, and I think this is important when we're trying to judge why some of these alleged victims didn't come out sooner.
Yes, it's pertinent.
That's why I'm doing this. So when the whole AvalosMatch.com thing came out, which we've gone over ad nauseum and everything, you know, when Juliana Avalos was named as the plaintiff, this was the girl that we had the goods on for the past year plus.
Yeah.
This was the girl where we reported on this show. We think she's working with scammers, there's shady things there, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to lie. We thought that would be a big bonanza for this show.
Yeah.
I thought there might be a payoff of some sort from somebody.
Or
I thought it was possible.
Interest.
Yeah, because we're talking about a $1.5 billion lawsuit.
Definitely thought that was going to bring some interest here because, you know, the little underdog.
Right.
You know, poking...
And we're like
the big dog.
This girl that you're putting on all your, she was on the cover of the news, the Post, Fox News discussed her. She was all over the place.
Yes.
This pretty girl who was suing Match.com. And we had the story that said, you know, there's more than this that meets the eye here. So myself, Donnie Miller, who works with the show of the Indie Authority, and our PR girl at the time, the three of us worked feverishly. To make contact.
To get it out there.
To contact everybody. Whether it be individual reporters or the news bureau. And they would not talk to us.
Yeah.
And part of that was because I'm a comedian. And, you know, I guess, haha. Which is part of the rebranding that's going on with me in particular. Which is why I'm showing up on things like Arise TV. talking about scammers, so they're trying to put expert before comedian.
Right.
Which is fine.
Yes.
I mean, I'm always going to think of myself as a comic, but I can wear two hats. Mm-hmm. But so that I am taken more seriously.
Right.
But we had the story.
Yes. Tom just said it should have been bigger. You guys had the smoking gun on Avalos. And we did.
Thanks, Tom. We did. And it should have been bigger, but we weren't given. We were one reporter in the Miami Times. Was it the Miami Times Herald? Is that what it was?
Yes, I believe so.
Gave us the story initially, talked to us. And that started things unraveling for Avalos.
Yes.
Because she saw that. Mm-hmm. That started things. But we wanted to go bigger places. There was a reason I didn't reveal all the evidence I had up front, because he wanted it.
Right.
I thought there was more to be done with it.
Right, and you don't want to show all your cards right away.
I still have to post that on our website. I've just been so busy, but yeah. I will. But I will. But I have it, and I will show it. I've read it on the air, mm-hmm. but I'll show everybody the screenshot. It's not a big deal at this point. And that's not the only time that this has happened. We still have it. Earlier this year, the evidence of the Pentagon working with Facebook to get profiles deleted.
Right.
Now, the thing is, the U.S. Army is not allowed to prosecute American citizens. The people that they were having do this task for them, they were called trusted agents.
Mm-hmm.
The people that they were having doing it were not trained.
No.
They didn't know what they were doing. And there was also an element of spite, which, if you want to hear about all this, you know, we got videos on the DavinsDen.com website. There's two videos about it. You can listen to the earlier shows from this year. We did a lot on it. But that people's profiles were being targeted who were not scammers, but were who enemies of a certain person mm-hmm. that a trusted agent was working with. And this is right in the throes of the Snowden thing.
Right.
With the NSA and the overreach
mm-hmm.
and everything. And again, we were feverishly trying to get that story out there. But like Cosby and Facebook have this in common. They're both very big.
Huge.
And you don't want Cosby's one of the biggest entertainers in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know he's 77 and he's old, but he's still
got a legacy.
And he does. Facebook, like we've talked about on the show, is everywhere. All these news channels, all these magazines, all these newspapers, they have Facebook pages that they want to promote.
Right.
This should have been a big story.
You'd think.
We really could not get anybody to cover. The guy who covered my story from the Post was interested in it,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't cover it.
Well, because that was an editor decision.
Right. That was an editor's decision. So my point is, oh, no, boo-hoo, poor us. That's not my point.
No, no.
My point is, you might have something real, but it's up to an editor somewhere to decide if that meets that entity's, whether it be a newspaper or magazine or television news, whether it meets what they want to tell or if it meets their best interests.
Yes.
So these women might have gone to a reporter.
They
might have gone to a magazine, to a radio show, a news show, and somebody said, you know what, we're not messing with Kaz.
Right.
We're going to leave this alone. We don't know if we can believe you. Sure, you were drugged. You know, and there's other stories coming out where, you know, he kind of used his power to curry favor from these women, and they tried to further their career. You know, that's just show business. I don't really have an issue with that. It's the ones where he drugged them, like some of these are complaining about.
Right.
That's rape.
Yeah.
That's where I have the issue. So I just think it's unfair to assume that all these women are just waiting till now. This mm-hmm. was out there since 2006.
Right.
Hannibal Buress put it out there, and it got recorded. And because of the technology that we have now and the power that you, the listener, have to get this stuff out there is why it's out there. So the news had no other choice.
Right.
So that's my point. I'm not saying all these women were raped by Bill Cosby, whether they were or they weren't. I don't know.
No, we can't tell at this point.
But I just think it's wrong to condemn these women because they're just coming forward now. Because our society has changed,
mm-hmm.
how we look at rape. And now, because of Hannibal Buress, they can come forward.
Right.
They could come forward and say, listen, this happened to me.
Right.
So that was my point with that.
Well, you know what? I think that is a super valid point, and like you said, not to go into the whole bigger issue of rape in society, but one of the things that is so pervasive
is that
victims are so afraid of being blamed and so afraid of being ripped
apart.
That's
part of rape culture.
That's part of rape culture. And that, but that's part, that's not the only part of, the, of this issue with.
No, I mean, there's the fun part, like the sex.
Well, the.
Well,
the,
not that much.
Oh, you missed my horrible diatribe that I was going on. I was saying terrible things.
Actually, no, I had the show on in the car for the past 30 minutes, so I'm pretty much into, you know, on top of what you guys have been talking about.
Look at you, a Joe, our boy!
Yeah, yeah.
Technology boy!
Why only 30 minutes?
Huh?
Why only 30 minutes?
Because I was listening to the weather.
It's going to suck tomorrow.
Well, I'll tell you why, because I didn't, I go, you know, as I've always, I finally, let me try.
Our own co-host would rather listen to 1010 Wind's new stupid weather.
Because I've always had a problem with my iPhone bringing up the show in the car. Finally, I just clicked it and it came right on, which was
nice.
Good. So it, you know, leads me to
push. The show know we needed you.
Yeah, right. Now, I got a question for you. The whole thing of comics now having a little bit of clout. With your Bill Maher's and stuff like that, and you brought up, oh Christ, about 5 minutes ago, the whole Avilos thing, where part of it was a comic, and they're trying to rebrand.
Yeah.
If you think if we broke that Avilos thing now, we would have a little bit more clout.
No, I don't know. First of all, we don't have the name,
right? No.
I think if what we tried to do, I think if we had put it on Opie and Anthony like we tried to do, mm-hmm. I think if Anthony would have given us the opportunity to be on his air.
Mm-hmm.
It would have given us more clout.
Mm.
But, you know, really it took the guy in Miami and it took the New York Post for him, the writer there, Rich Calder, to investigate me because the Daily News just kind of dismissed
mm-hmm.
and everything. And right. they wanted to get another press release from the attorney who was eventually left out of court and discredited.
Right. Now, another question I wanted to ask you.
Holy shit, Joe should come an hour late all the time.
Yeah, time to do homework.
Yeah,
look at him writing. Come on, stupid, the light screen. Joe's like, hold on, I got another question for stupid.
And I forgot the question.
Just, all right, Joe, walk outside, walk back in.
Say so congratulations.
Another question you wanted to ask me. The first question was, do I think it would be different now?
Yeah, be different now. And, well, why do you feel that there's not that much money investigated reporting? You made a comment that there's not that much investment. Because there's no money in it? Expand on that, please.
Because America doesn't have the attention span on span right. for it. Investigative reporting means that you are – and I'm not an expert on this.
No.
But I'm assuming you have to spend a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
a lot of months – for a long time, a long effort, you might have to fly some staff overseas mm-hmm. to really dig. You're investing all this money for months where you're going to get a story for a short time out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where, you know, Kim Kardashian's ass is presented and it's right there for the world to see.
It should have thumped the Rogers.
Oh, yes, it is.
But that was at the top of the news cycle for a while. Mm-hmm. Investigative reporting is difficult. It's like doing thought-provoking comedy. It's difficult. It's a lot easier to talk about your dick for 45 minutes than to talk about social subjects. Make social comedy.
Don't I know. Yeah. I'm starting to talk about more social, you know, social things and this, that, and the other thing. And you've got to work at it and get, you know, get your ass whipped till you figure
it's
it
harder,
out.
Right.
It is. But you know what? If you want to make a point, you know, I mean,
you can make a point. You're just not going to be wealthy for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, listen, I think we've clearly established I'm not in this for the money.
Yeah.
So I go down the road I go. But you could listen, if America said we want more in-depth reporting, then you would have more in-depth reporting. America said, what is Justin Bieber doing? More of Kim Kardashian's ass. Oh, a plane went down. Let's do that for 10 days and then forget about it. That's what America has shown, except for the people that decide to investigate further and go to whether it be bloggers or not, and most bloggers are not worth a damn, but some are.
Yeah,
or do more research and go to foreign papers or go to BBC America or Al Jazeera, whatever, and do more. But most Americans aren't doing that. So many Americans, and I fight with them a lot on my Facebook page, everything they see on Fox News, they take it at face value.
Right.
Which just makes me want to put a gun to my head. I'm like, how can you take any of this at face value?
No, in my own daytime job, I have been a present at an event and then seen the write-up in the newspaper the next day and see things completely wrong.
Absolutely. If there's ever a situation where there's a news story that pertains to somebody you know in mm-hmm. the local paper,
yes,
and you read it, you're like, that's not true. Where did they get that from? That's not even close, you know?
That's
exactly.
Not
no, you're
they
right.
They didn't do the background reporting correctly. They didn't even spell
the
person's name right. They don't.
There was, yeah, there was
completely wrong.
When I worked for one fence company on Long Island, Newsday, the Long Island paper, came out where somebody was murdered, and was murdered by an employee of so-and-so fence company, okay?
Right.
And that's what they murdered, and he have it in the article. The guy that murdered somebody was a part-time helper of a part-time contractor. He was a helper of a subcontractor.
Oh, jeez.
With
yeah.
no real connection
right.
to that fence company. But Newsday, just, he worked for these guys. And I was running one of the stores, and I got people calling up, excuse me, Joe, are you sending the murderer to my house today? And I'm like, you got, honestly,
Joe's like, no, I'm off.
Yeah. So, you know, it got that ridiculous where not only did they get it wrong, I got to sit there like an idiot and field questions about it. It was, you know.
I think that's the point. So, like, don't blame victims for not getting their story out.
Right.
Think more critically and realize very often there's another agenda. A lot of people bended to Bill Cosby's wishes.
Yes.
A lot, like even the staffers at the Letterman show. You think, well, the Letterman show, that's big.
Nope.
Those story, a lot, so it's not far-fetched that the media bowed to Cosby too. That's all I want to put out there.
He had a tremendous amount of clout and he used it.
I'm not judging him.
No.
I'll let my Facebook post do that.
Well, the whole thing with that, you know, he's been an icon, and there was that one suit you did bring up there. That was that one suit that they did settle and hush hush and all this, and he wound up keeping his credibility.
Yeah.
I guess now when he made that comment with Facebook and everything, a lot of these women are in their late 60s and stuff like that, and feel that they have nothing to lose, and you know, want to be open about what he did. And, you know, clear their conscience, you know.
Yeah.
And a lot of them are really not out to gain anything.
No,
they just
not
want the word out
this.
There.
No, they just need closure. They need justice.
Right, you just said that. Justice and closure is pretty much the bottom line in all of this.
You know what we're going to do? We're going to close the first portion of the show.
We are.
We're going to come back. We're going to do some drunks in the news. We're going to find out the drunkest state in the union.
New York!
We'll be back in a few minutes.
You can listen to Davin's Den live every Tuesday night on davinsden.com. iHeartRadio, The Indie Authority, RuthlessRadio.fm, TalkSuperStation.com, CyanNetRadio.com, and Clutch and Wiggle. On iHeartRadio, you'll find all of our shows, plus customized highlights of us scamming the scammers, going back to the very beginning of our interactions with our African friends. Go to iHeart.com and search Davin's Den. The Indie Authority also has apps so you can listen live on your mobile devices. The platforms include BlackBerry, Android, and Apple. You can download previous shows from the following places: DavinComedy.com, DavinsDen.com, Stitcher.com, iTunes, the Android app, iHeartRadio, RuthlessRadio.fm. iHeart can only be heard in the U.S.